When we get to today's Holy Gospel, the clock is ticking for Jesus as this Holy Gospel brings us to the very last week of Jesus' life. Last week, Jesus told us the parable of the two sons, and the previous week we heard of the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Well, Jesus gives this parable about the wicked tenants, which is also, by the way, recorded in the Gospels of Luke and Mark. This is so important for us to hear because in the timeline of Jesus' life, Palm Sunday has just happened. And this parable gives us insight into God's plan for his people and those who reject him. Just days before this, people were waving palm branches and laying cloaks on the road and saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And what happens day later is this parable comes true. The timing of our readings is perfectly intertwined, as our first reading is really God setting the groundwork through his prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 5, 1 through 7. It's all about the vineyard and what Jesus is talking about. In the words of the prophet, which is God speaking of the promised land, the vineyard, and how this vineyard had been yielding bad grapes of rejecting him. Israel was supposed to be producing the fruit of righteousness and then showing God's grace to the world that surrounded them, if not the entire world. But Israel, in its own self-centered way, was insisting on keeping the grace all for itself, practicing injustice in its own life, and seeking to repel and resist the world around them by whatever violent means might be necessary. Israel rejected the way of peace and is about to reject its final messenger. But the story doesn't stop there. The vineyard owner will return at last. And when he does, the judgment that Israel longed to see meted out on the pagan nations will instead be sentenced to her. Well, he will destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others, the Gentiles. It goes without saying that upon hearing Jesus' parable, no first century Jew would have needed to be told that the owner was a representation of Almighty God. The farmers for Israel, and the messengers for God's holy prophets. The landowner, having no one left to send, sent his own beloved son. This son came as the rightful heir, the king, to his father's tenants. And they were standing in his way, determined to keep the vineyard for themselves. Eventually, they threw him out and they killed him. Jesus reminded the people that God had been very good to them as a people. He delivered them from Egypt and planted them in a rich and prosperous land. God gave them so much, and all he asked was that they bear fruit in his glory. God had sent his servants, the prophets, to the people to receive that fruit, but the people mistreated those servants and even killed some of them. And Jesus spoke this to the people. They've had to have made some connection with the parable and the scriptures, especially Isaiah. But they had no way of knowing what was going to happen in the next few days. Jesus had told his disciples and the apostles many times that he must suffer and die. Here's just one example from Luke chapter 9, verse 22. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things can be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and they must be killed, and on the third day, raised to life." You know what? It went over their heads. Throughout the history of Israel, the rejection of God's word and prophets had cost them dearly. It cost them the first temple. It cost them the complete destruction of Jerusalem. They were sent into exile for 70 years. And like the tenants of the vineyard, they had their own agenda and were disobedient, not only to God's law, but to his word and demand for repentance. Jesus is telling the people what is happening right before their eyes, that he is being rejected by those he came to save, but that he's destined to be vindicated by God the Father. This is a parable full of depth, sorrow, and power, telling how Jesus has now come to Jerusalem to confront the tenant farmers with God's demand for the fruit of their repentance. For Israel to step up and to be what it was called to be, the light of God's world. We know that Israel, through the temple leadership, is going to refuse that demand, that request, and will end up by killing Jesus, the vineyard owner's own son, in just a few days. And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." Matthew 21:42-44. Now, here's where it gets interesting. In doing my study, the Hebrew word for son is ben. Now, I've taught that the Hebrew word for son was bar, Simon, Bar, Jonah, and so on. That's Aramaic, and I stand corrected. The Hebrew word for son is ben, Judah Ben-Hur, remember, from the movies, and also from Kings. Hebrew word for stone is Eben. There's a connection, a correlation here. When we hear Jesus is teaching to these people just a few days before his sacrifice, he's speaking of the Ben, the Son, who is also the Eben. The Son is also the stone. When a building goes up, a special stone is put on the top of a corner to hold it all together. He's saying that he is the means of repentance and judgment, and that rejecting God's beloved Son by failing to submit your life to him has serious consequences. In 2014, Marilyn and I led a trip to Israel, and we were very blessed. We went to some ruins, Chorazin, as a matter of fact, and there was a synagogue in Chorazin that some of it was still standing, but one of the things that they preserved was the cornerstone. It was kind of interesting because on the cornerstone was the engraving of a fish. And we found that very telling to us. But we got a view of what a cornerstone looked like, and that's the capstone. It held the corner of the building together. The Apostle Peter later referred in his first epistle, for in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for." 1 Peter 2:6-8. There's a song, "I lay in Zion, a precious stone, a cornerstone." That was going through my head the whole time here. The truth is that who aren't broken before him one day will be broken by him. The Apostle Paul wrote this truth to the Philippians. "Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord." Philippians 2:10. Did you hear in today's reading from Paul to the Philippians? "For as I have often told you before, and now I say again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. Did you hear that? I'm not just preaching this. This is the truth. This is the word of God, the word of Jesus, and then spoken by Peter, and then also by Paul. My friends, the only question that remains here is, when will your life be broken by God's precious chosen cornerstone? Will you give your life to him? Have you given your life to him, now to be broken before him in repentance and saved? That doesn't mean that you're going to be crumbling and broken, but inside you have been broken and made a new creation. Or are you going to be like those who wait too long and will be broken or crushed by him when he returns to judge the world? Believing in Jesus is the key. All you need to do to be saved is to believe in Jesus Christ. I've said many times from this pulpit, and you've heard me sharing with you the words of John 3:16 to 18. And in just a few moments, I will stand here again, reminding you of the comfortable words. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then, "God so loved the world." But I want to remind you of the whole message from Jesus, with no omission. Listen carefully. "For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." My friends, the good news is this. If you believe in Jesus and give yourself to him, you will be broken, but strengthened as a new creation. The bad news is, if you do not believe in him and stand against him, well, when that stone falls, you had better watch out.